Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Lineup podcast. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Richard Justice, and we are covering the World Series between the Dodgers and the Astros, and coming off of a wild Game 2 where the Astros pull out the 7-6 victory in Dodger Stadium. Richard, it was absolutely crazy. We're going to delve into this as best we can, but first, let's hear how it all went down.
Gonzalez hits one in the air into left center field. That is gone! Tie game in the ninth.
Back-to-back jacks for the Astros. First Altuve and then Correa. 5-3.
Crazy. We've been playing crazy games in Boston, New York. But this one was the best one I ever played.
Two-run home run for George Springer. And the Astros are back on top. It's 7-5.
The goal right there for me was to get him to third base. Was fortunate enough to hit a ball well and get the job done.
Devo delivers.
Swing and a miss. And that is the ball game.
So many ranges of emotion. If you like October baseball, that's one of the most incredible games that you'll ever be a part of.
All right, so I don't know where to begin here, Richard.
There a point where you said to yourself, I can't believe what I'm seeing here, as they punched and counterpunched?
I think it was on my third rewrite after the ninth inning. I think that might have been the moment. But
it was epic. You know, you and I were there for Game 7 last year.
Yeah.
But this is that, like, there are games that you watch and you try to understand, and you're going to be going through all the nooks and crannies until the first pitch is thrown on Friday, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's in terms of that feeling, it's up there with, you know, Game 6 in 2011, Game 7 last year, a lower magnitude perhaps because it's a Game 2, you know, so, you know, inherently it's a lower magnitude. But, man, you know, so many swings of emotion in this one, and the Astros were maybe facing the daunting prospect of going home, you know, in this 2-0 hole against Yu Darvish.
With a lifeless offense.
Yeah, instead it goes the other way completely. But there's so much statistical minutia to dig into. The biggest thing was just 8 home runs was a new World Series record for a single game. But that's not even what's crazy. What's crazy is that 6 of them were hit in the ninth inning or later.
Yeah, and you know what struck me is, so they score a run to make it 3-2 in the 8th. And as Carlos Correa dribbles this little ball to center field, he's running up the first baseline, screaming back at his dugout. Mm. And you're thinking, okay, they're going to fight till the end.
Yeah.
And then in the ninth inning, Marwin Gonzalez hits the ball over the center field wall against the best closer in the planet. Until that moment, Dave Roberts had managed the greatest World Series game ever. You get 4 innings out of your starter. You get 2 hits out of your offense. You don't win those games. He won it. And all of a sudden, the team that we saw all year in Houston, the team that won 101, that was led by Springer, Altuve, and Correa, it was like a light went off and they came alive.
Yeah, they sure did. And all heck broke loose in extra innings. I mean, get this, Richard. The first game in history, postseason or otherwise, to have 5 extra inning home runs. That stunned me. That's never happened in a regular season.
So you're saying not ever in the history of the game, and that covers what, 20, 30 years?
At least.
Yeah. That goes back a couple of presidents. It had never been done.
And it happens, you know, in Game 2 of the World Series.
And the thing is about, if you're playing, you're in these two dugouts. When Marwin hit the home run, I was outside the Astros clubhouse, so I could hear guys screaming, we're not going to lose this game. Then you win the game, then you lose the game, and Justin Verlander came back in the dugout and was screaming, we're going to play, we can still win this. And like, so how you handle the gut punches that came in this game, That says a lot for both teams. And afterwards, Dave Roberts said, hey, let's just be clear here. These are two incredible baseball teams.
You know, it's so easy to get swept up in everything that happened in the late innings and to almost forget about some of the crazy things that happened early in the game. There was a ball that caromed off of Chris Taylor's hat in center field, potentially robbing Alex Bregman of extra bases, perhaps costing the Astros a run there early. There was a pickoff attempt of Kike Hernandez late in the game that went off umpire Laz Diaz.
AJ Hinch said that was the baseball gods evening it up.
The Dodgers, get this, Richard, they had been 98-0 this season when leading after 8 innings. That includes the postseason. 98-0. That streak is snapped tonight.
And I believe their bullpen had put together, 28 straight scoreless innings. And so you can't ask for more than to turn it over to the best bullpen in baseball.
And just to show you the state of the game right now, Richard, the Dodgers scored 6 runs on 5 hits, 4 of which were homers, and that fits with the theme of this World Series so far. 39% of hits in this World Series have been home runs. The World Series record is 18.3% in 2009, so I think that record is in jeopardy here.
That's the game, right? That's the game now. You hit the ball over the fence, you have a great bullpen, and you go home happy.
Well, home run derby erupted in Game 2, and it's going to be one we're going to remember for a long time. Richard and I are having trouble summing it up, so let's leave that duty to A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager.
These players don't quit. We're not going to concede anything. This is the time of our life and on the biggest stage, and we're chasing something that you know, for your whole lifetime seems unattainable, and here we are a couple wins away from bringing a championship to Houston. So, and they got guys on the other side that are doing the same thing. So no one's going to get too ahead of themselves. No one really is going to concede an at-bat or an out or an inning, or certainly not a game. So the emotions were exactly what you would expect out of Game 2 of the World Series. It was upbeat. Positive and grinding through, you know, a spectacular game.
All right, so everything that happened in the late innings was set up by what happened in the eighth inning, Richard. It was a 3-1 ball game. Dodgers are up 3-1. Brandon Morrow's on the mound. Astros come to the plate. Alex Bregman comes up, hits a ball to the corner in right field. Yasiel Puig does not come up with a catch. The ball bounces over the wall. Ground rule double. Puig slams his glove to the ground. You can see the emotion of that moment. He knew what a big play that could be.
Yeah, until that moment, the best offense in baseball had been smothered by all this pitching. And you think, okay, Dave Roberts has it figured out here. Even though he only got four innings out of his starter, he knows what he's doing. And at that moment, it was like, okay, if I'm a Dodger fan, I can't quite get comfortable just yet. And then the next thing you know, Carlos Correa dribbles a ball of a 50 bouncer up the middle. It's 3-2, and you're thinking, now, wait a minute. You're in a position now where one ball over the fence and all hell's going to break loose, which is what happened.
That's exactly what happened. I want to go back to Puig's play because we have the data now to tell us, you know, how likely that was to have been caught. 32% catch probability. So, obviously, it would have been a difficult play. No question about it, but still, it was one where Puig was clearly fighting himself about it.
Yeah, and they win the game if he makes that catch.
I think
probably
you're absolutely
fair,
right.
Fair
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, that play, so now you got Bregman on second, and that's when Dave Roberts had to go to Kenley Jansen. So now it's a six-out save, which Jansen has done before. But, you know, generally speaking, they asked a lot of their bullpen tonight, and they asked a lot of Kenley Jansen. And, as you said, a dribbler off the bat of Carlos Correa brings home a run in that inning. Jansen's able to get out of it from there. But in the ninth inning, the solo shot from Marwin Gonzalez is what ties this game up.
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest hit the Astros have ever had. I mean, right there. Put yourself, you go from, you're going to go home 0-2. You've never won a World Series game, and all of a sudden there's some life. And you could just see it in the dugout that these cocky young guys, Correa, Springer, Altuve, who won 101, who came from eight back in a game in Minnesota in midseason, that's who they became themselves again. They just settled down and like, you know, afterwards George Springer said, it's the biggest stage, it's the brightest lights, you're going to press. And I think something snapped at that point when Marwin hit the ball over the center field wall.
Yep, well, it just goes to show in the postseason, you know, one ball gets out of reach and next thing you know, a ball game develops. Because to that point, it, you know, as I said, a 3-1 game, and it was actually eerily similar to game one in that in the way the Dodgers had taken this game over with a two-run home run after a walk with two outs in the sixth inning, in a 1-2 count even. Yeah. It was this eerily similar formula, but obviously everything changed with that Alex Bregman double. So, Richard, I don't know if you remember this, but Rich Hill and Justin Verlander started this game.
A couple of days ago.
And certainly the strategy with both those guys became very interesting and very pivotal in the outcome. And we'll start with Rich Hill and Dave Roberts' decision to pull him after four innings. You know, Hill was not at his sharpest tonight, but he was effective. And they end up exhausting their bullpen. Obviously, it's a bullpen that had earned a tremendous amount of trust from Dave Roberts. But just your reactions to that move, that decision with Rich Hill.
Well, it's a second-guesser's delight, and I think Dave feels – I go twice through the lineup with Rich Hill. That's the way we've done it. Now, twice through the lineup today only meant four innings. While he only gave up one run, he walked three. He wasn't sharp. But you're thinking, okay, you've come into this. Your bullpen has thrown 25 straight shutout innings. You've got it lined up with Maeda. You've got it lined up with Morrow and Jansen. You're going to be able to finish the deal out. And that's it worked. Look, Anthony, it worked perfectly until Kenley Jansen gave Marwin Gonzalez a pitch he could handle. Now, today, you know, after this game, you're going to say, Dave, nine pitchers, you can't do that in a World Series game. It's going to come back to bite you. But it only came back to bite you because the guy you least expect to do what he did gave up a home run, and that that gets back to the miraculous nature of this game.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we mentioned the emotion we saw from Yasiel Puig in right field when he didn't come up with that catch. We saw emotion from Rich Hill in the dugout when he found out he's being pulled out of this game, slammed the water cup to the ground, was clearly upset about it. But even he, after the game, had a more level-headed assessment about it, and he said he understood the move. You know, the Astros had five right-handed batters coming to the plate, and he just felt that was a really good opportunity to bring in Kenta Maeda. So as you said, I mean, it's something where if Kenley Jansen nails it down, as he does so many times, we're talking about the genius that is Dave Roberts.
Yeah, and don't you think, I keep thinking these managers are going to pay for it, going 3-4 innings with the starter, 6 outs with the closer, but I guess that's the way this postseason's going to be, right?
Absolutely. It's the way it's been all along. One man has been a horse in this postseason. That's Justin Verlander. But, you know, A.J. Hinch came into a situation where he had really no choice but to pull Justin Verlander from this game, despite, you know, he had only made 2 mistakes. They were big ones with the home runs, with the long ball. But what did you make of that move?
Yeah, he was at 79 pitches. I think A.J. just looked at it and said, we got to get something going offensively. And I think the way he feels is the lineup is so deep that we just need one swing of the bat is going to kind of get everyone going. You know, they didn't get that from Evan Gattis, and then he's forced to navigate his bullpen,
right?
A bullpen that he has no faith in. And when this World Series started, you know, we were quizzing him, do you have any faith in Davinsky? Do you have any faith in Musgrove and in Will Harris?
Yeah.
And he said, we cannot win the World Series without these guys, and I'm going to put them back into the roles that got us here. Davinsky was an all-star right-hander.
Yep.
This year, Harris was an all-star. Last year, Musgrove was as good as any reliever in baseball the last 6 weeks, and that's what he ended up doing.
Yeah, I thought coming into this series, Chris Davinsky was as big an X-factor as any, just knowing the state of both of these bullpens. Do you feel like he's turned a corner? Because certainly it seems that way in the first 2 games of the World Series.
And I would think that A.J. felt last night was a turned a corner. When he's going good, he's throwing 95, 85, and he's stalking around the mound. He had 2 strikeouts last night. I think last night led to this performance tonight, and I think he feels like he's gotten Will Harris back too. And so, you know, they're tough to beat when they have those 3 guys. If we'd had this conversation 6 weeks ago, we'd say it was Astros have the dominant bullpen and the Dodgers are searching.
So the offensive hero for the Astros in Game 2 is George Springer, a guy who'd really been laboring in the postseason until this point, Richard. And, you know, A.J. Hinch had to answer a lot of questions about George Springer. Are you going to move him down the lineup? What are you going to do about him? Well, obviously he comes through huge tonight, and he's really done that for them all year.
Yeah, the day started with a vote of confidence for him. And A.J. would tell you, I don't abandon my players. Players go through good times and bad times. They know I'm going to have their back. And he begins every day with his lineup card. Springer 1, Altuve 3, Correa 4, and then he goes from there. Right. And Steve Sachs, when A.J. moved George Springer into the leadoff spot a year ago, midway through the season, it sort of changed the look of the whole offense. You know,
yeah.
Go up there, hit a home run.
Right.
And you were talking that this is what leadoff hitters look like now.
It is, Richard. And, you know, we're seeing this new age of leadoff hitters, if you will. It's not the prototypical guys that used to choke up on the bat halfway up and, you know, scratch out a 260 average, walk as much as they can and steal a bunch of bases. These are guys now that kind of look like defensive backs. And they go up there, they can rake the ball out of the ballpark. Some can steal. But most guys are there to set the table, get the team ahead, you know, very quickly. And you see the splits on these teams that get ahead early in the game. I mean, these guys usually do win, and it turns out that that's what Springer's been doing for this ball club.
Before the game, before game 2, a reporter asked A.J. Hinch, what's wrong with Springer's swing in so many words right now? And he said, well, I haven't seen it yet tonight. And the reporter went back and asked him again, okay, until this point, what has been wrong with his swing? He says, well, I don't think there's really anything wrong with his swing. I want to see it tonight. Every day is a new day. You put the past behind you. Steve, what did you like about Springer in game 2?
Anthony, I'll tell you what. He does everything. Not only can he hit the ball out of the ballpark, 34 home runs this year, but he walks. You know, he works the pitcher. You know, what I do like about him, too, is he doesn't necessarily buy into that narrative that, you know, we have to work counts deep all the time. It's not – he's most leadoff hitters do that the first time up, but after that, this team is a team that hunts that number one, and they don't always go deep into counts, and that's why they don't strike out very much, because they don't let it get to that point. This team struck out fewer times than any other team in the American League, and yet they're right up there at the top of the leaderboard in home runs, and that tells me one thing. They're hunting the number one, and they're doing it early in the count.
Richard, you know, Springer, he wasn't just hitting the ball. He was barreling the ball tonight. You know, you look at the exit velocity when he was getting a hold of it tonight. That's –
we're accustomed to seeing that from George Springer.
Yeah, the Astros feed off his energy. Right. It's such that when he was on the disabled list a year ago, A.J. Hinch, or 2 years ago, A.J. Hinch said, I want you to put the uniform on and be in the dugout. I want you to do all the things that you normally do. Get on your guys, get on me, get on the umpires, do whatever you do. And as a leadoff, former leadoff hitter yourself, I guess you understand that the whole club feeds off what you do.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, that first time up is very, very important because you're on a reconnaissance mission for the most part. That first time up, you're coming up from the at-bat. You're coming to the dugout and say, this is what the ball's doing. It's moving in this way. It's got some jump on it. This is what how he's fashioning the, you know, the curveball, whatever it may be. But that's what you do that first time up. And, you know, it's more than that today, too. Like we said, it's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. It's grinding down the pitcher. And then there's other times where, you know, you're up there and you're just not a leadoff hitter, right? After that first time you lead off, now you're just a regular player. And Springer's just so good at that. He's great at leading the charge on this team.
Well, what a weird sport in that we come in today and we're thinking, like in Houston, we love this kid. And we're thinking, oh, my gosh, you can't have this kind of game in the World Series. This kind of thing sticks with you. And great players eventually, he said, when you're on the biggest stage and the lights are the brightest, you're going to press sometimes.
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, when you talk about his swing being off a little bit, that's just the evolution of the game. I mean, sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. You're talking about this much of being a home run, you know, or a ground out. And look what he does down the outfield. This guy's extremely athletic. It probably, you know, more than anybody on this team, I think Springer's probably the most athletic. And it epitomizes what they do. They can run a bad route sometimes, and because they're so fast, they can go out and still make that play. So having that athleticism in these guys really does, you know, make the other team pay.
You mentioned, Steve, you know, it's not the prototypical leadoff hitter scene anymore. How big are both of these guys for both these clubs moving forward in this series now, Chris Taylor and George Springer?
Well, you know what? Chris Taylor's the same thing. I mean, this is a guy that hit one home run before he came up, you know, this year. This is a guy that was going to be in AAA this year. Then he got on the roster, was going to be a bench player, and turns out he was a monster on this team. And same thing with him. He's uber aggressive. You saw what he did yesterday. First pitch of the game, he takes that ball out of the ballpark and sets a standard for this team. Chris Taylor can play everywhere. You know, he can play shortstop, second, and you're not really losing anything defensively when he's out there. So there's another guy, tremendous athlete, got power, he can run, and he just doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
All right, it's going to take a long time to process everything that happened in Game 2. Fortunately, there's a day off between Games 2 and 3, but we are headed to Houston, Richard. And for me, the big question now heading there is how the Dodgers recover from this painstaking loss, a really difficult loss in Game 2.
I think you take a deep breath. You know, the Astros went through the same thing, having lost three tough games in New York, and A.J. Hinch told them just take a day away from it. Now, I think the Astros are going to come to Minute Maid Park. You hand the ball to Yu Darvish. You know, is it a hostile environment? It's going to be very hostile in that one of the things Dallas Keuchel told his young teammates is when the roof is closed at Minute Maid Park, and it's going to be closed, it's going to sound like 90,000 people. And the players, it reset the whole postseason last week when they came home and beat the Yankees twice. And that's what they need again. You know, it's two teams in a different spot emotionally, but everything changes with the first pitch, McCullers versus Darvish.
Yeah, and Darvish is so key for the Dodgers. He's been so good in this postseason. So there's a way the momentum can swing right back in the Dodgers' favor. But as you mentioned, it's going to be a raucous environment there. You know, first World Series game in Houston since 2005, coming off the organization's first World Series win. So it's going to be an electric atmosphere. And on top of, obviously, the emotion with Hurricane Harvey, everything these people have been through, it's going to be quite a scene there.
Yeah, and the Astros come here. They start Keuchel. They start Verlander. Neither gets a win, but they get a split.
Yeah.
That's as much as they could have hoped for going back home.
All right, so in your heart of hearts, is this the last game we've seen at Dodger Stadium in this World Series? What happens from here?
In my heart of hearts, I think this is going to be a seven-game World Series. That's what I'm rooting for. I hope it's a classic. You know, in the Indians clubhouse last year, there was emotions of we just were part of something spectacular, even though we didn't win. And I hope these two teams are so evenly matched. They're so good. They could put us. That we could be headed for a classic World Series.
Yeah, it's amazing how much that can swing in one moment, in one game, and the Kenley Jansen blown save, and you know the big swings in extra innings in Game 2. Because this was looking like maybe it's a potential sweep.
Right. Because
it's so hard for the Astros to come back from that, but they came back with that
right
within Game 2. So now we have a legitimate fall classic. So it's going to be great fun in Houston. And Richard and I will be back to preview Game 3 in the next edition of the Morning Lineup podcast. Richard, I want to thank you for joining us. Steve Sachs, I want to thank him, and thank you all for tuning in.